Good morning. Welcome to The Age Stage. My name is Paula Dunn and I'm here today with Brody Guzet to talk about all things to do with seniors. How are you, Brody?
I am slightly more senior than I was last week, which is about all I can really say about it, but I'm healthy.
Did you have a birthday?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay.
My wife did.
Okay.
And she has passed the age of retirement but has no wish to retire.
I'm with her.
Oh, really?
100%.
No, I'm in trouble.
Got no intention.
No, she doesn't want to. She actually works at Hastings in community health over there and has been for a very long time. Lots of badges all over
yes.
the United States.
Well done.
Yeah,
happy birthday to her.
It is. Yes, it is a good birthday for her.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we don't have all the family together to share that, but that's
well,
the nature of the
world. Yeah, but you don't when they're the age that our children are.
Nope.
It's very hard to corral them all together for any particular reason.
Tell me. Maybe. How was your week?
My week was wonderful. Lots of cuddles with my new grandson. Uh-huh. So that's wonderful.
Is it making you feel like a grand person?
It's a privilege. It's a great privilege to be a grandparent. Yeah, granny. I'll happily wear the banner granny.
Mm. We got footage. This is all a bit gooey, isn't it? I got footage yesterday of Luna crawling.
Oh, she's so
she's off and running.
Oh. She will break some hearts, that one.
Oh, Lordy.
Yes.
She's broken mine already. Now, today.
So today we have some interesting guests. We have Vicky Sutton from Melbourne City Mission.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to talk to us about the things that they do and how they can help people. And also Heather Catherwood. And Heather is General Manager of a place called culturally diverse care, home care.
Right.
So, and we have our regular guests as well.
Terrific. Well, that sounds to me like a signature tune that should go something like this.
And so welcome today to Stuart, who's from the Village Baxter, who's here all on his ownsome.
Hi, Paula. Hi, Brody. Yes, I am feeling neglected by my colleagues.
Bless his cotton socks.
I don't know what's happened to them all.
Wow.
Well, it only goes to show that when it comes time for the points to be counted, when those that do, and those that can't, won't.
Look, that's a very profound note. We should have left that for the end of a segment, I believe. But perhaps you could do a repeat of that.
It means that we are thrilled that we have you as a solo act today.
I feel like I should be changing my voice every so often just so you
know
there's someone else in the room.
You don't do any such thing.
But my voice is not one that can change easily.
Your voice is fine. You have excellent diction, but it is your mind that we are choosing to mine.
Well, as the grey matter gradually withers away.
Oh, no, no.
Just getting quickly.
No, we don't do that. We don't wither away at all. And I'm sure Peter from the Village Glen is listening to us as we speak.
He could be.
As he might
be.
You know,
as he drives
so, back. Yes.
So he was possibly still
there.
On the way back from Adelaide.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Intrastate.
Yes.
Yeah, so yes. Just enjoying the drive with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I presume quaffing wine at every town they go through.
I don't see Peter as a quaffer.
Well, a tippler. How would that
tippler.
Be?
I yes, see a tippler.
Tippler.
Tittler,
right? Yes. And, of course, Tom is still in New Zealand, so it is Stuart.
Yes, it is me
today.
And me alone.
Yes, and we're glad to have you, Stuart.
Well, we are.
Well, shall we solve world peace? Now there's only the three of us.
Of course we can.
shall we move into the big topics?
Yes. Do that.
We can do the hard stuff.
We can.
Well, you've got a couple of things we're going to talk about. One is that we're going to be covering off the open day that we're having.
Yes, next weekend.
Which is going to be very exciting, and we will absolutely cover that. But going back from last week, we were somewhat concerned that from Peter's perspective, well, from everyone's perspective really, is that the governments have been progressively removing incentives that they used to pay to people that are in the care industry, to the point that Peter was saying that while they are looking at and have permission to invest in a new facility, that's as far as it's going at the moment because of the fear that the erosion of support will continue by government. Do you feel the same way?
For a long time, the thing that's been wrong with particularly residential aged care, so nursing homes and hostels before it, is that the government control all sides of the equation. They control your income, they control your expenses because they dictate what you have to provide, and there's no scope to manoeuvre in there. So if government reduce, you know, one of the major inputs being change of funding or rules on what you can do with taking an accommodation bond or accommodation payment by whatever title, or if they increase the level of service that you've got to provide, where does the money come from for that? That, you know, there is no doubt that as a sector we have been stretched for many years, and government still try and offer to people a Rolls-Royce service while paying for a mini miner. And at some point that has to stop. And that I suspect that's why Peter and at the Village Glen has made the decision to just put a hold on building new facilities.
Yes.
Because unless you can have certainty in the financial equation, you wouldn't do it.
Yes.
And if you recall when we first started the show, I think I said at that time, so 18 months ago, that we used to have over 250 aged care beds at the Village Baxter. We now have 120. Why? Because we wanted to reduce our reliance on government funding. You know, it is too easy to create a financial problem for you. So we deliberately downsized our facilities, and which for the region is not a good thing. So, you know, over 120 beds actually left the Frankston and Mornington Peninsula area. So that's not a good thing in the long haul.
So, Stuart, do you think that most of the, you know, of the people in your, you know, domain, you know, the village owners or directors or, you know, managers, feel this type of over-regulation?
With our question, Paula, you know, it is a topic that just haunts us day in, day out. And there is no real incentive to come along and build, develop or be creative, because there is no opportunity to be creative under the current regime. And that's not necessarily the current political party. Both sides of politics have supported that process over the last decade. And something has to give. And there's some really simple things that government could do.
What are they?
Well, the first one is that they provide subsidy for care. They have no role in accommodation. I've stated that in a variety of different forums. You know, we don't all live in the same type of house. You know, Brody's in his mansion. Paula, you're in living in the middle of Brighton. And I've got my tent pitched on the Rosebud foreshore.
Yes, I've got to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I know. Council are getting a bit antsy about that bit. But we all live in different accommodation, but now that you move to an aged care facility, you know you're going to be moving into an 18 to 22 square metre living space with a 4 square metre ensuite as a self-contained unit. You know, we are all doing that. There is no room to be creative in that model. So you know up front, this is going to be your build cost. The only variable is how you're going to finish it to try and make certain that, you know, you can charge a higher bond or you will stay in a lower bond area. So that if government deregulated accommodation, providers could do more creative things. With the age-old adage that if you want a more expensive home, and you have the money, you can afford it.
Mm. Mm.
If you can't afford it, you will go to a place that is not as lavish.
Mm.
And that should be the right of us as a society.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen in some cases. Or is it that? No, that happens in retirement villages.
That's retirement villages.
Yes, yeah.
But not Commonwealth-funded aged care.
Mm. With Commonwealth-funded aged care, you are essentially a surrogate public service.
Correct. There is no scope. Government control us.
Completely.
Completely.
Every aspect.
And that's wrong. In a free market society,
yeah, it is.
That is wrong. Government should always be there to provide a safety net for those people who cannot afford even a basic level of housing for whatever reason.
Mm.
Mm.
You know, if you've lived in a shack and, you know, it is basically worthless, and you come down to the city to be closer to your family, you are not going to be able to afford anything particularly lavish, and government need to provide a safety net for those people. You know, government legislate how much money we have to leave you when you move into an aged care facility. And you've got to say that, you know, it is just not a good equation.
It strikes me the only variable that you have possibly got is food.
Well, you know, you look at the cost of food, and again, that doesn't vary much between places. You know, in simple terms, you will spend roughly $30 a day for food and labour. So either cook your food in-house or have it catered for by a contract caterer. It'll work out somewhere around $30. You know, if you go to a specialised facility, it might cost you more. You know, if you go to a Jewish facility and you comply with their requirements, that could have a higher cost involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
But as an average, we would all spend somewhere $27 to $30 per resident per day. And say most of that cost is labour, the food component, the actual ingredients. And if you do the sums at home, the actual cost of ingredients would be under $10.
Mm.
So the rest of your costs are just pure labour.
Goodness.
And if you consider that if you have your two Weet-Bix for breakfast, that's probably cost you 20 cents out of a packet. Your dash of milk, and so you build up. So breakfast is a very cheap meal. Dinner is lunch, is the main meal of the day in aged care.
It's the Chateau Lafitte 32 that is the killer, of course.
That's that is the stumbling block,
yes,
finally.
Yes, I've always found that.
Yeah. So catering in itself, it is not that variable.
No.
You know, I remember some years ago my chairman suggested to me that I needed to reduce our operating costs. And I tried to explain that most of those costs are fixed costs. You need to feed people.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have cleaning, housekeeping,
yes,
different sheets, continence pads, whatever it may be. You need to repair your building. So the costs are really fixed.
Mm-hmm.
As an accountant and an old accountant, you know, most people would think they were variable costs. But in reality, they're mainly fixed costs.
Mm.
You can sacrifice staff training at your peril, because that's always an issue. But if you're going to keep pace with modern developments, modern standards and techniques, you need to invest in your staff.
So
get a cheaper chairman.
So our board is a voluntary board.
Oh, no.
So
how did you go about that when you were asked to do that?
We talk about it as people.
Mm.
Yes.
So you explain the realities of where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, government dictate what we have to provide to people, and they control what we can charge people, and it's just wrong. So if you remove housing from that equation, you know, people might sell their house for $2 million or $1 million, come into an aged care facility, and they should be able to use that equity to help support their aged care.
Mm.
You know, it's you know, you can't necessarily leave it to the family, but at least you can make that choice. Do I want a better standard? So do I want to live in the Hilton, which is your choice, or do I want to go to the budget motel?
Mm.
But that is your choice.
Yes.
And you have an asset that can support that lifestyle.
Do you think we're going If you take Peter's situation where they are not making any plans to convert their plans into a reality, do you think we will be under severe pressure down this neck of the woods? Is it going to get worse?
A lot of providers have moved into the area of recent times, and no, not necessarily. So why did we reduce our beds? Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to reduce the reliance on Commonwealth funding and the building regulations that you need to provide for residential aged care. So we're, as I said a couple of weeks ago, that we plan on building apartments as two-bedroom apartments, fully equipped, and you can age in place in those apartments. So you've bought your apartment under retirement village rules, so I've charged you what I think is a fair amount, and we can draw upon that equity. So you're living in your apartment. If you need care, then we'll provide community care services to you. And we believe we'll be able to provide to the very top level of community care services if government get the allocation of packages right in any region.
It's very clever. It's actually very clever thinking.
And I'd like to say that it was our original thoughts. Some people are already there and have done that.
Because it makes...
Place up in Queensland have done that and doing it quite successfully, and we certainly have been talking about it for a long time.
And it, well, just from a participant's point of view, if I can get into my retirement village and that converts through whatever the conversion rate is to a full care, when I don't have to move and I don't have to change my pictures on the wall or anything, that's an improvement because I'm not going to go into that area which you don't come out of.
Some do.
Well, yes.
But generally, if you're going to residential aged care, it is generally for the balance of your life. So moving into an apartment, so you'll still keep your two bedrooms, so you'll still be paying your apartment costs, but you'll also then be paying your care costs.
So why can't that happen in a retirement village now?
It can.
Oh, it can?
It can. And that's why we're building apartments.
Right.
Sorry to Frankston Council, we're about to lodge a permit to build apartments.
Right.
So we have apartments now in our old hostel, where we combine two rooms into one. So they are not the world's greatest apartments, and we wouldn't pretend otherwise, but they provide a need to a segment of the community. And we want to expand that segment. And that's by building new apartments to make them modern, make them attractive. We believe it'll be very popular and successful. And should it be that way, we will look to increase the number of apartments that we have on our property.
But if you take a standard village... Right, a retirement village. What you're saying is the really advanced thinking is to become architects of delivering full care to that architectural platform, as opposed to building an architectural platform for purpose and servicing it.
Yes.
And that's a thinking of the dynamics of how you service, how you serve, transport, moving, food, all the other bits and pieces.
Yeah. So the drama. So if you look at a standard retirement village with no care services currently on board, if you deliver that quality of care in someone's unit, it can still be a very lonely social isolation.
Yeah.
The advantage of having an apartment complex is that you can still see life and movement around you.
Yep.
And whether you have a community building or whatever you do to try and engage in social interaction, that's an important component of it.
And that's the way of the future, you believe, Stuart?
I do, yeah. Yep. And I believe that for some time, Paula.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to seek a meeting with our local member on the Peninsula.
Good to hear.
But Peter's put a request in to have a chat with us so we can talk about some of those dynamics.
Good.
In the meantime, we'd like to talk about other dynamics next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Today being Thursday,
you've
got only 24 hours or 36 hours to plan your weekend and to visit 12 villages that are open for inspection, displays. Different villages are doing different things on the day.
And where are they?
Yes.
So villages start from Patterson Lakes.
Yep.
At the Patterson Village, and Village Glen down at Rosebud is the furthest distance away, and Cranbourne at the other side of a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So between the Patterson Lakes Village, the Blue Hills residents and Blue Hills Rise, Jody and my team out there would just love to see you. The Long Island Village down on Seaford Road and Greenways, close geographic area, Greenways actually participated in our golf day last week and took out one of the prizes. So hi to Robin Forster, it's down there. Casey Grange in Cranbourne, alongside of the other Blue Hills residents. The Peninsula Lifestyle Village on the Baxter Turin Road. St John's, a shout out to our friends down at Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
To Helen and the team, and I'm not certain whether Graham will be there, or I hope Helen's got him under control as the new CEO, but hopefully that he will be there. Kooratang Court in Mount Martha and Martha's Point, Village Glendown Rosebud, and if you plan your day well, you would be able to get a feed at every one of those villages.
Really? Brody, we need to plan our day.
You can't have a village open day without food being available.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you look at the early starters, so Village Baxter. So Village Baxter is open at 9, as is... who else is open at 9? Look, we're the only... Oh, Greenways. So Village Baxter and Greenways open at 9 o'clock and we're each finishing at 1 o'clock. So we like to get in, strike early. You know, we have our market day down at the village, so a bunch of local people come along, show their goods, soaps, whatever it might be, veggies.
Booties.
So market day is happening. I'll be standing in the village, in the unit.
Yep.
That we have open for display to show people. Entrance 6 if you come to Village Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
Not any one of the other entrances. You'll get seriously lost. The other villages are all opening at 10 o'clock. So that's the Stockland villages at Patterson Lakes and Long Island.
What's the latest?
The latest opener is 10. But the finishing time is finishing. More interesting.
Yeah.
So Casey Grange and Blue Hills, they close at 4. And Peninsula Lifestyle Village.
Right.
So Village Glen only open 10 till 3.
Right.
Mm.
So
where would they get this information?
There is a website called peninsulaopenday.com.au, which has a nice little map and details of a village. It should be in the local paper this week.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't checked that, but... Certainly, we paid money to put it in the local paper, so I'd be disappointed if that's not there. But you can be assured that wherever you go to any of the 12 villages, you'll be made really welcome, and you'll get to experience what village life can be like,
mm-hmm.
which is simply people having fun. And what more could you want in your senior years?
Well, that's right.
So, sounds perfect to me.
Yes.
And if you don't know, you'll never learn.
Nope.
Exactly.
So your best chance is for you.
Your day.
The 17th of March.
17th of March, okay. Yes. 48 hours.
Yes.
Oh, you've got 48 hours?
Well,
the weekend?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so if you don't do Saturday, you can do Sunday.
Yes. No.
Oh, no?
No,
it's 48 hours from today.
Oh, sorry, that's what you were going to say.
Yes.
Until we're there.
Just Saturday.
Just Saturday.
Just had to get that correction correct.
Just let me check that. I believe it's only Saturday. Yes, I'm sticking with Saturday. Only.
It is. Okay, make it Saturday. Write it into your diary now. Put it in your GPS and get yourself down there. Get your map and make the most of it.
Try the food, yes.
Terrific to see you.
Thanks so much, Stuart, for coming by today all on your own. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks, Brody.
Look after yourself.
Have a great week.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Bye. Back to the Aged Age, a program that looks at all things to do with seniors. And we have a special guest today, Brody, from the Melbourne City Mission. Welcome, Vicky Sutton.
Hi. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Vicky, it's Paula. Did you? I don't know whether we just...
No, we didn't.
We didn't.
How are you, Vicky? Hi. Thank you for coming on and speaking with us today.
Terrific. I'm pleased to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the City Mission, the Melbourne City Mission, and what you actually do.
Yeah, Melbourne City Mission works with people to help them overcome barriers and obstacles that they face, achieving their best future their way. So many of us take for granted a magnificent, ordinary life of being educated, having a home, having a job, and being part of our community. And Melbourne City Mission works with a range of people facing obstacles to that ordinary, wonderful life. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole range of programs across homelessness, education, and helping older people as well have social connections and contribute to their community.
Wonderful. And Vicky, do you see more of one issue than another, or is it just general across the board, you know, struggling in all those areas that you've just mentioned?
Well, it can be a whole range of reasons that people might find themselves isolated from their community. So it could be financial reasons that make it hard to maintain a home. It could be access to education, being excluded from school, or it could be a disability that makes it hard to be a contributing member of a workforce or to be involved in your community. A whole range of reasons. And as people get older as well, they can find themselves very isolated and lonely from community connections.
And so what is your community visitor scheme? How does that work? Would somebody or a family member of a person who's living on their own contact you and go from there? Or how does it work, Vicky?
Well, in essence, community visitor scheme is a service that creates friendship. It's a program that matches volunteers with older members of the community who might be feeling lonely or isolated. Now, Melbourne City Mission matches over 200 volunteers to older members of the community, and our aim is that once we've done our job well, the clients and the volunteers forget how they have met. They're both enjoying so much the benefits of a wonderful new friendship. So, for example, recently Melbourne City Mission matched a 97-year-old sculptor living in an aged care facility and feeling isolated with a volunteer who was a graduate of sculpting and art, and they formed a wonderful friendship.
So what would have been the age difference there between the 97-year-old and the one training?
It'll be decades.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But having, you know, common interests and ways that people can connect with one another is a core part of Melbourne City Mission, way that we facilitate this community visitor scheme. That's the essence of success, in making sure that we get that matching right and that people form that connection and then have a wonderful friendship that can go on for a long period of time.
Vicky, do you find that your clients essentially just give up? Is that the root of it all? They just say, it's too hard. I can't manage my life. They just become either homeless or they become insulated. Is it just despair and giving up, or it's cured by connection and friendship, as we've just heard?
No, I wouldn't say it's giving up. For older people who find themselves lonely and isolated, you know, many of us will have had relatives who lose connections because they lose their driver's license.
Yes.
They lose their core group of friends through death, or their family lives interstate, and they lose that independence to stay connected. It becomes harder and harder. They may end up in an aged care facility, and sometimes even within an aged care facility, they can become quite isolated.
Yes.
There can be a lot of recreational activities, but they can feel quite isolated without personal friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So it is high risk with older members of the community that can happen, and programs like this can really recreate those social connections.
And so, Vicky, how do you match volunteers with residents? How does that work?
Well, it's as I said, it's through interests. Another great example that we've had just recently is an older person who came to us looking for a friend, was really passionate about politics, and we were able to identify a volunteer who's a teacher of political studies.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's really about looking for those relevant connections. So as we manage more than 200 volunteers, we're constantly advertising for volunteers on our website, and you know, then we will work as we get a new person come through the CVS program, the Community Visitor Scheme program, to find a match and to introduce them and to ensure that that does work before we start to that becomes part of their normal routine and we leave them to develop that friendship.
And what happens when there's a matching that they don't get along, so the resident and the volunteer for whatever reason don't hit it off? How do you handle that?
Well, we would go back and look for another volunteer to support that resident or that client. It's no good if it doesn't create that friendship, if there's not a meeting at the minds and shared interests. That's a core part of the success of the program. So we would look for another volunteer that may have that connection. It's a bit like meeting a person at a dinner party.
Yes.
You've got to have a connection.
Yes.
And if you don't have that, it might look great on paper, but when they meet, if they don't have that, then we'll go back and find another volunteer.
Okay. And I believe that you have a lunch on the 21st of March. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have. It's an annual lunch. It's our Heat Homeless Longest Lunch. So, as I said, Melbourne City Mission works across a whole range of people experiencing issues, being part of our, really fully appreciating their life. So this lunch is a three-course lunch for 150 people who are experiencing homelessness, and it will be held at Luna Park, St Kilda, next Friday, the 23rd of March. It is part of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. It's been designed, it's a three-course meal that's been designed by our patron, Guy Grossi, and it'll be prepared and served by our Heat Hospitality Training students.
Right.
Oh, that's a great
wonderful
gift.
Yes,
we've been running the event for 11 years, and our aim is to give people who are experiencing homelessness the chance to enjoy a special meal during this food and wine festival that they wouldn't typically have access to. And while doing that, raise awareness in the community about the whole range of reasons that people can be experiencing homelessness.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Vicky, for speaking with us today. And I'm sure there's so much more that we could talk about, but we've only got limited time. So maybe you could come back and visit another time.
Oh, look, I'd love to, Paul and Brody. And I would just say to any of your listeners, if anyone is interested in volunteering on the Community Visitors Scheme, or shouting someone lunch to participate in the Heat Homeless Lunch next week, if they can actually make a donation that will pay for someone to...
How much would that cost?
$60 for a donation to support a home someone experiencing homelessness attend the lunch. So if they're interested in either of those things, or if they think they might like to avail of the Community Visitors Program themselves, then head on to the Melbourne City Mission website. And there are a couple of tabs there. There's a What's On tab where they can follow the link through to Heat Homeless Longest Lunch, and there's also a tab around a volunteer tab around the Community Visitor Scheme, which has phone numbers where they can make inquiries.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much, Vicky, and we'll speak to you soon.
Wonderful, Paula and Brody. Great talking to you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Sigrid Thornton speaking. I love listening to the radio, and when I'm on the peninsula, I love listening to RPPFM.
And welcome back to the Age Stage.
Yes, indeed. Well, we were going to have Heather Catherwood, but unfortunately, we seem to have lost her.
Yes.
She was going to talk to us about cultural diverse care and language barriers and the like.
And that sort of thing, yes.
But unfortunately, and we've tried to ring her up, and it seems to be going through to Message Bank, so we've missed the opportunity.
We'll get it back another day.
We'll get
day.
It back. We'll, yeah, we'll certainly get it back another day.
Yes, yeah.
In the meantime, there's lots that you and I can talk about.
There is.
And one of them that I've been meaning to discuss with you for a while is that we are both relatively young grandparents. So we fall into that category of seniors.
Yes.
We are of a retirement age.
Yes, we are.
We choose not to play bowls or do the usual things. We choose to continue on doing. Mm. You have your own consultancy.
Mm-hmm.
Where you deal with people that have got challenges, life challenges, and you also work here very hard, and this is where I work too. So that is our choice. What is it that worries you most about your next phase?
Without sounding flippant and being totally serious, I don't. I don't worry about the next phase.
You really do not have any concern that whatever happens to you is just going to be whatever it is and you just deal with it as and when it happens?
And that sounds a bit irresponsible.
No, it doesn't. It just sounds...
No, it's absolutely... I absolutely 100% trust that my life will be taken care of.
By?
I don't know.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps what I do, perhaps.
So
circumstances.
Are you saying, and I want to try and get this said the correct way,
mm-hmm.
that you have a spiritual crutch or support or a reliance that is your guide and therefore your comfort and therefore that's why you don't?
I would call it an understanding.
Understanding,
mm.
right.
Mm.
Yes, crutch wasn't the right word, but you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. You know, yes,
how religions can become...
Certainly nothing to do with religion.
No, okay.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So, but nonetheless spiritual.
A spiritual understanding, absolutely.
Right.
That, well, the thing is, Brody, that if we worry about things and if we're constantly concerned about it, it doesn't change them one iota. Worrying about anything at all does not change the situation. The situation is still there when we wake up in the morning or whatever. Worrying about it does not, it's just a waste of time. Totally.
Well, I do worry.
Well, you shouldn't because it makes you ill.
Well, I don't care.
Well, stomp your foot and take your bat.
No. The reason that I do care is that I saw a very up close and very personal, I saw my father encapsulated in a rotting body while his mind was still very aware and he was unable to reach out. And I watched him die intellectually over a period of 4 months or thereabouts. And it was so... The only way I can describe it really is disgusting as a descriptor.
Mm-hmm.
He was disgusted with himself. He was angry with his situation. He was scared because he couldn't reach out enough. And he wore himself out mentally trying to work out how he could change this. And I said to myself, I can't bear the thought that I might follow him. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't bear it. Now, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it short of committing suicide when I decide that it may be something that's happened, and now's the time to do it. And that is not the right way out either, because people get very upset when you just kill yourself, and they get cross with you, and they say, you know, you shouldn't have done this, and how dare you, and you've upset everybody. And that's true, because we don't have the ability to have the conversation that says it's time, I need to do something about this. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you have a terminal disease.
Mm.
But we all have a terminal disease.
We do.
So the definition is wrong. The definition for terminal disease is that you know when you are going to die, and that if that period is, say, 18 months, then potentially, this euthanasia thing, you'll be able to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wait until 18 months before you're expected to die.
Mm-hmm.
And one assumes you have to be in pain, physical pain.
Mm.
So I don't get that. I don't get the my biggest fear, and I do worry about it, and you're right, there's nothing, having had two TIAs, I do carry extra weight and all the other bits and pieces, and I don't do enough about it, let alone take the tablets that I'm supposed to take. So I'm guilty as hell.
Mm.
But the bottom line is that the fear that I would experience if I fell into that would just be an absolute nightmare. But
you know, Brody, whether you fear it or you don't, it could happen. And it could happen to any one of us, you know, perfectly healthy. I'm extremely blessed that I am a very healthy woman, and have been all of my life. But who knows what tomorrow is? And you can't. There's no way I can know that I might not be thrust into a situation like you describe your father having. And by me, you know, speaking miserably about that, or, you know, over concerning myself about that, is not only making myself miserable, but the people around me.
No, but in thinking about it and being scared of it or however you...
Mm-hmm.
I am exploring ways to potentially address that.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious being, as we said, it's suicide, and that is not helpful at all.
Mm.
I'm trying to work out other ways by which that can potentially happen, which is why I've had my end of life conversation mm-hmm. requirement and do not resuscitate laws, and which is now, incidentally, it's no longer a choice anymore. The medical people have to follow that ruling. It's mm-hmm. not a question of choice anymore. So I'm assuming that they'll be able to get that information at an ambulance or mm-hmm. whatever, and to be able to say, no, we have to abide by this. And I can only hope. That's my only fallback position is that it's bad enough where I can do something about it. And say, now that also means things like, you know, having a tattoo that says "Do not resuscitate," or you know, and that's why I do think about these mm-hmm. things. It doesn't mean to say I sit there and moan about it.
But what if you put as much and more energy into living as you are perhaps doing into preparing for your transition, let's say?
Because if I don't do anything about it,
mm-hmm.
I may find myself in my father's position.
Mm-hmm.
And the only advice you'll be able to give me is you look into my eyes and see tears roll down my face,
mm-hmm.
is to say, that's a bagger, isn't it? Sorry about that. You can feel bad about it now if you like, Brody. And that's just too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's far too late. And I think it's one of those things that we somehow need to address that core issue.
Mm-hmm.
Age does not scare me. Mm-hmm. I losing, becoming not what I regard as human in an animal sense.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm working on spare parts or whatever else it might be, that I find distressing and I find wrong emotionally, and I do lead my life as if, I'm not sitting there waiting to die. I just get on and leave each day.
Why do you not take your medication?
Because I forget. It's literally why.
You've got a mobile phone, haven't you? Yes, you have.
Yeah.
Of course you have.
And it's got a thing on it.
It's got an alarm on it. Yes, and an app.
And it does. It'll tell you. And I pick it up and I go, mm-hmm. and I just press it. Oh, Christ. yes, I remember that, and turn it off.
Mm.
Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's my own stupidity. I get it. I absolutely get it, and I know that I don't deserve.
You have to ask yourself. You would not forget to service your car, would you?
Yes.
You wouldn't.
Oh, I probably would.
No, and yet.
No, I'd make the decision not to.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to go.
We do.
It was an interesting little debate.
It was.
Hope I'm going to be a gracious grandparent, and I hope I'm going to see more of
you. I'll make sure you do.
Well, I would anything there. But if you see me lying by the side of the road, kick me to death. That's all I can ask.
Okay, till next week, we shall say goodbye.
And we will get hold of Vicky.
We will.
Talk to her, try and support, get in touch with her next week.
We will do that.
Oh, not Vicky, Heather.
Heather, we've spoken to Vicky. Yes, we have. Yes, and we do want to thank our sponsors too, the Village Glen, the Village Baxter, and Encore Living for that regional alternative.
Terrific.
Bye for now.
Take care.